In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAG10 for 10% off your first purchase.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Never good.
Is it a hive or a dive?
Let's hive first today.
Let's hive first.
So, Russell Brand, yay or nay?
Like as in as a person? Yay or nay him? It's hard to tell now at this point.
Straight in. I hate him. I think he's scum. I did see a funny thing. It was like, why is everyone surprised? Russell Brand looks like if you asked children to draw a bad man, that is what they would draw.
Chitty Chitty Bang Bang, the child catcher.
Yes. He's scum. And he is a terrible, terrible person. And I'm sure there's loads more still to come.
Do you know what cracks me up? Like they demonetized his YouTube channel.
Yeah.
He'll be straight on to whatever one Trump's on.
Truth
Social. And he'll be able to monetize. And in fact, it'll probably end up being that his kind of following will believe him more as a result. So his kind of ascension into a sort of wellness kind of truth teller individual. Have you been kind of watching any of his YouTube videos pre the expose?
I saw that one video clip that he released. It was like, this is a coordinated attack from the mainstream media because I say things about the media that they don't like. Mm-hmm. And to that, I say the mainstream media doesn't care about you enough, Russell.
The man is the mainstream media. He was in Minions, the last Minions. Like, it's ridiculous.
Well, he was the mainstream media, and then he, you know, slid off into
his own
anus.
Like, I don't think he's going anywhere. He'll now become sort of held up.
No, there's a Scotland Yard investigation now underway, so they'll find something.
Oh, that's interesting. So screw him and his stupidness. Any other? So he's a clear and obvious creep of the week.
Obviously,
when's this going out? This show.
Tonight.
All right. Excellent.
What do you have?
Just
in general.
Regarding
Russell, to see if it's still relevant. Breaking news on the creep dive.
Do you want to hear just a little bit about something interesting? Do you know Sufjan Stevens?
Yes.
He woke up.
Are you about to wreck him? Is he?
No. Nice guy. But woke up one day. Couldn't walk.
Exactly.
No way. So do you know that he wrote a song about Gacy?
What was it again?
Okay, hang on. Let's just go back.
For anyone who can't see in the room, Sophie is entering her mind palace. Her eyes are closed. She's humming. She's walking through the halls of the mind palace.
Okay, going to the other mind palace, aka the phone. It's such a good song. It's fucking chilling.
He and his music is wonderful. And he has woke up one day, unable to walk, He said his symptoms begun last month. Arms and legs went numb, tingling. He had no strength, no feeling, and no mobility.
Is it Guillain-Barré?
So it's Guillain-Barré disease. This autoimmune.
Thing to fear.
Crazy disease.
It's crazy, I think, in a way, because it just can come over you. Okay. So he was stuck in a bed. Doctors did everything they could to keep him alive. Sorry. Oh, I remember this.
Only 15 seconds or we'll be sued.
Oh, everyone knows this. Is this about John Wayne Gacy?
Yeah.
From the perspective of a victim?
It's telling the story.
What are the lyrics again?
I know. His father was a drinker. Okay. And his mother lies in bed.
Yes, so that's haunting.
John Wayne's t-shirts. When the swings that hit his head, the neighbors they adored him for his humor and his conversation.
God, we're an indie band.
Look underneath the house there.
Yes.
Find the few living things rotting fast in their sleep. Oh, the dead. 27 people,
beautiful.
Even more. They were boys with their cars, summer jobs. Oh my God.
Amazing.
Isn't that song amazing?
I never
so
knew that.
So chilling.
Well, would you look at that?
You can make a folk can song out of anything.
Can I have beautiful. A moment for me?
That was beautiful. It was stunning. I'm anticipating the comments now on the Patreon. People asking for an album.
I'm not saying my best there because my throat is a bit dry and I was at choir last night. So I was really giving it all last night. But in the tradition of murder ballads, which is like a tradition of songs.
Get out.
We should do a creep Christmas album.
Yeah, let's do on our Halloween show when we book it. No dates yet confirmed. Do learn one off and sing it at the show.
Why not?
Okay, back to Guillain-Barré's disease. Barré, I'm definitely pronouncing that all wrong.
I think it's just Barré.
Guillain-Barré disease.
Yeah, it's B-A-R-R-E, isn't it?
Is it a disease or a syndrome? However, then I was thinking to myself, I vaguely knew somebody else that there was a suggestion also had this and was buried alive. And that person, stay with me. I'm coming slowly around, is Alexander the Great.
Oh, do you want to hear a joke?
Okay.
What do Alexander the Great and Winnie the Pooh have in common?
I don't
know. No pants?
They've got the same middle name.
That's so good. That's also,
free.
I'm really enjoying that we are Roman Empire adjacent.
I can't get
Roman
away.
Roman Empire is our Roman Empire.
Okay.
I'm thinking about it a lot since the Roman Empire revelation.
Oh, I've read a lot of things.
No, I thought about it. Your Roman Empire is the Titanic and 9/11.
Thank you.
Combo and the intersection of 9/11.
Probably
and
Columbine, if I'm going to.
Columbine, yeah. Yours is parasites.
Aliens as well. I think a lot about aliens, I will say that.
And yours is mysteries.
Glitches.
That will never.
Oh, glitches in the Matrix.
She's a real glitch gal.
Multi-dimensional universes.
Yeah. And. Yes, are we living in a simulation? Is
I think
Cass
about
lives.
That all the time.
Yeah.
Well, I'm convinced ever since Christian Bale's real life accent, I'm fully now convinced we're in the simulation.
Yeah, I think where else I've you jumped live. Through, I think, at least four simulations this year alone.
But you do a lot of thinking about the Bermuda Triangle as well.
Yeah, it's just terrifying.
But maybe that's kind of adjacent. However, let's talk about Alexander the Great momentarily.
Absolutely.
The reason why we suspect this might have happened is because he was buried and failed to decompose for 6 days after his death. And the Greeks were like, what's happening? This means he is a god. But now modern scientists are thinking otherwise. So one theory is that this king's body did not decompose because he wasn't actually dead. Horrendous, isn't it? So he might be the most famous person in history to be buried alive. He's a very young man as well. So an ancient Greek historian wrote his parallel lives hundreds of years after Alexander's reign using many secondary sources. So this is why we know about what happened to Alexander the Great and how he died. So 24-hour drinking spree. He came down with a fever, felt sudden pain in his back, as though smitten with a spear, apparently, he said. Pretty soon, he was paralyzed, and soon after that, rendered speechless. And eventually, the 32-year-old was pronounced dead. But the cause of his death is a mystery. But one little doctor recently thought she might have cracked it. So in February 2019, Dr. Catherine Hall of University of Otago in New Zealand, she posited that Alexander suffered from Guillain-Barré disease or syndrome. So according to history, the website, the rare autoimmune disorder can lead to fever, abdominal pain and paralysis, which to Dr. Hall seemed to exactly fit the account of Alexander's death. So she said the combination of ascending paralysis with normal mental ability is very rare. I've only seen it with GBS. And she suggested that Alexander contracted the rare disorder from an infection, the most frequent cause of GBS worldwide. So, Jesus, Cass, I mean, it could be hitting any one of us at any time.
But this is like my theory that you could wake up from a coma any minute.
That's it. Mm. Oh, you could wake up
from a coma. Like, this could be the last thing you remember. And you just wake up and you're...
I tell you where you should avoid. Coma TikTok. It's not
really boring.
You said
is it
out loud.
Not a lot going on, is
Snooze
it?
News City.
It's a lot of people who have woken up from comas talking about how they, in fact, had heard all the shit that was their family and friends were talking to them about, and what the nurses and doctors were saying about them while they lay there in the bed.
Okay, Hold on.
I'll just give you one little thing about Alexander. So back then, they didn't use pulse to diagnose death; they used breath.
Oh
and
yeah,
since
on the mirror.
Since yeah. Alexander was paralyzed, his body required way less oxygen and his breathing slowed right down to almost nothing. And his pupils would have been dilated and his apparent lack of response to stimuli. The Greeks were like, this guy's brain bread, put him in the ground. And he was pronounced dead a full 6 days after he actually died. Sorry, 6 days before he actually died. Isn't that something to little nugget to itch upon? Imagine all the people similarly who might have been buried alive.
I'd say there are loads.
We've talked about
many.
Do you remember the Victorians were so paranoid about it that they used to bury them with like a little string around their toe
and a bell,
leading to a bell above ground?
Yeah.
And then the bells were always going off by accident.
Exactly.
Like
a little wind.
Yeah.
Or as the decomposition kicked in, or any kind of underground animals burrowing, moles and things, removing the toe. Ding, ding, ding.
I have a creep of the week, courtesy of a fabulous creep. I've actually got a couple of creeps of the week. Now, typically, I have lost the fabulous creep who alerted me to...
It's always the way.
Anti-glasses TikTok.
Oh my god,
oh, it's
yes.
Brilliant.
So
the woman who's curing eyesight.
Yes, here we go. Samantha Lotus making a bizarre claim that she can cure your poor eyesight. She has been dubbed the anti-glasses influencer, which is a bit of a mouthful. So she has these $11 glasses. Glasses. Mm. So this is a quote from her. You may have been told that you need glasses, but that's actually a lie. So she's a self-described holistic master coach. Okay. She's got a very kind of Cali influencer look, long blonde hair, you know, tanned, very white, even teeth, as only an American can have. And so she says, she's actually Canadian. I apologize.
Here we go again.
To America.
She's America adjacent.
Adjacent. Okay, so she says she can teach you to see clearly again for just the 11 quid. She has tens of thousands of social media followers. And she says that she can heal the, quote, spiritual, emotional, mental and physical reasons behind their bad eyesight. Now, I didn't know that I had any spiritual, emotional or mental reasons behind my eyesight.
Well, that's because Big Pharma got to your face before you were able to wonder about it.
Yeah, and I probably from a young age.
To the top. Mm-hmm. So she calls her teaching holistic multidimensional healing.
Nice.
It's good, isn't it?
Also, her name is so fake.
Oh, I know. Samantha Lotus. So she said she's healed her own eyesight and no longer needs glasses.
Easy to disprove.
Post last Friday, she claimed she had 338 people signed up to take the online masterclass. Should have called it masterclass. It is a major fucking miss.
How much so?
It's like this. There's this
$11. Could sign up and we could expense it to the creep account and we could experience this and see if it can cure me and Cassie.
Yeah. Mm. Or someone could sponsor us to get laser.
There is a catch though. Well, she says, quote, if you're closed-minded and want to stay a victim, this is not for you.
Oh, come on.
Now, the American Academy of, and this is going to be a hard one, ophthalmology.
Ophthalmology.
There we go.
Is it off or opt?
Well, it's spelled off, P-H, but ophthalmology definitely sounds more like optician, which... tracks. So they have come out in a statement saying,
so that was very exciting. I wouldn't say they have to often,
and it's lenses,
statements,
surgery, or medicated prescription eye drops. And they said there's no scientific evidence to support alternative practices improving eyesight, such as eye yoga, which sounds like them really trolling this Lotus girl. Shove your eye yoga up your fucking foreign Gansey.
Castor pushers all over TikTok. Castor oil. We've moved from the parasite cleanse. We've gone through, what's the other thing? That's apple cider vinegar obsessives. Oh, yeah. And they've moved to castor oil as being the great cure-all. And some people are... it's mostly poured on patches, like plastery things, and then put on your body.
Yeah, I mean, castor oil for scars is a thing, though.
For scars, but this is like for liver disease, for any... look, it's a poultice and all this kind of nonsense. But they're using it as eye drops, some of them. And I don't think that's a good idea at all.
You should tell them to heat it up.
So Lotus has come out against the American Academy of Ophthalmologists. And she says that her methods are not quackery. I understand that people are skeptical and worried about grifters and uneducated, quote unquote, influencer scammers online. She says, however, that she is very learned. She has studied psychology, sociology, and naturopathy medicine, as well as extensive training in anatomy, physiology, biology, pathology of disease, and iridology.
And does she, would that be qualifications iridology, or doing your own research kind of business?
She hasn't produced any degrees on paper. But yeah.
Do you know what? This is genius in a way, isn't it? Because it's so batshit and silly. It's kind of low end suggestions of curing things. It'd be like a holistic approach to ingrown toenails. Like, no one's going to die from doing away with their glasses. So what she's done here, and it's a very good deal, one way or the other.
Yeah.
So you're going to get people just having a
look. Yeah, it's that price point where no one's going to go after their 11 quid back.
No, they're just...
I'm just picturing all those 388 people on a Zoom call, all in glasses.
Do they all remove them at the same time?
They all remove them in a ceremonial ritual. Anyway, thank you to Michaela Tuckwell, who was our creep who directed me there.
There's a creep's name I haven't heard before.
No, I know. Welcome, Michaela. What else do we know about Michaela? Let me see. Let's click on her profile. Ooh. So Michaela is a director of the legendary Ultimate Picture Palace.
Now, does Michaela want us to be talking about this?
BAFTA Connect member.
Nice.
Fundraiser, disability rights activist.
Nice.
Views my own. Well done, Michaela. We love your work.
We're a fan of you too, Michaela.
We're a fan of you. Going to give a follow? Oh, yeah. At Dive Creep, just followed you. Okay.
Met a lovely creep in town the other day called Yvonne. Hi, Yvonne.
How are you doing, Yvonne? Jeez,
I've met so many creeps in the last week that I actually can't remember. There's definitely a few I'm supposed to shout out.
Too late now.
Mm. I'm going to throw out a couple of names just in case they hit.
Go.
Ali. Hi, Ali.
How are you, Ali?
There's always an Ali.
Emma?
Yep.
Emma, yeah, sure.
Love you. Love you, Emma. Okay. Moving on. There was another quick update.
Oh, yes.
BTK.
Oh, go on.
Yes. don't know how I missed this incredible
nugget. Guys, quick up top takes us 20 minutes these days.
Oh, yeah, I know. Shite bags.
I mean, Cass, we come here to do this. Like, what do you want the podcast to be?
I've got a big juicy bitch here for you.
She just wants us to not talk. That's
I want to talk.
She's biding her time.
Okay, so this is from Annie Sarkissian, our creep on the ground in the US of A.
Mm. How are you, international.
Annie? So she sent a link regarding BTK's daughter, Kerry Rawson, who wrote that amazing book. And so there's a quote here. He was caught, BTK, in 2005 after one of his communication frenzies when the authorities traced the floppy disk a computer at the Lutheran Church where he was council president. We all remember that from the story. Now, what I completely dropped the ball on is the next bit, which is crazy. Investigators had also compelled a hospital to turn over a sample of his daughter, Kerry Rawson's DNA from a smear test.
Without
her knowledge.
Wow.
They then used that to link her father to the BTK killings.
How is that legal? And how was that admissible in the court?
I mean,
fascinating.
Madness? Crazy.
And another violation of that poor woman.
Just women's health in general. I mean, are we shocked?
We are on the hive here, aren't we?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So did anyone see John Boyne's poem this week?
No, I just saw a post about with John Boyne and Graham Linehan having a pint together.
Fuck,
and
I said, off, mate.
Fuck the internet.
What
fuck the
a
men.
Nightmare.
Turbo doses in a
what
pub somewhere.
A pair of absolute just give dicks.
A poem.
Okay, so this is a poem that is a parody of another poem. What the fuck is it called again? I do not like the,
Green Eggs and Ham?
No, it's a person's name.
Do you not like the Sam I Am?
Fuck off. Dr. Fell. And I'm saying fuck off to my computer. That sounded like I was telling you to fuck off.
No. I didn't take
and
it.
And Jen just didn't even bat an eyelid. She said, there she is, fucking cunt. Okay, so I do not like the Dr. Fell. John Boyne has amended it to The Ballad of Owen Jones, aged 39 and a half. I do not like thee, Owen Jones. Your face appears on screens and phones and television far too much. You think you have the common touch and decent folk agree with you on everything you say or do. Perhaps today or in due course, you might descend from your high horse. I do not like thee, Owen Jones. I don't think anyone condones. You're tweeting morning, noon and night. Oh my God, the irony, by the way, that he tweeted this.
Yeah.
You're criticizing left and right. Sometimes it seems you just abuse those people who hold different views. A member of the Fourth Estate should welcome reasoned, sound debate. There is 8 verses of that.
Oh my God.
Go on holiday.
So Owen Jones writes for The Guardian.
Get a fleshlight or something.
Get a fleshlight.
This person, Jeffrey Ingle, tweeted this, and he works for The Guardian as well, as well as other outlets like ID. And so he tweeted, all these unhinged people on here, including best-selling authors, spend so much time harassing Owen Jones and yet never acknowledge he was attacked in the street by the far right. Mm. And then he tweeted the poem with the line, a 52-year-old wrote this. And then somebody replies, is that genuinely by John Boyne? Can we ask where it was found? Jeffrey replies, he tweeted it earlier this morning. It is. And also it does include a little like, what are those people, emoji cons or something that John Boyne presumably made of himself?
Oh yeah.
What's it called?
A memoji.
A memoji. And it's
embarrassing.
It's embarrassing.
It is.
It's just embarrassing.
It's mortifying.
But also big love to our trans listeners because my God, every week is a shit show for you guys. But this past weekend was particularly fucking shitty shite.
We love you. We love you.
We love you. All right, Cassie wants.
Will we have a bit more up top?
She was about to blow a load and then.
Okay. Right, what is it?
It's a story.
Okay.
It's a twisted love story.
Oh.
It's got catfishing. It's got
dog fishing.
dog fishing. It's got dogging, I'm sure. It's got a very mediocre man at the center of it. To look at, you wouldn't think he would spur any type of passion, let alone 4 years of crimes of passion. So come with me. December 5th, 2015, there was a man called Dave Krupa. I don't think we've done this before.
Creeps at home, answers on a postcard. Dave Krupa, I need a visual on this plain
it's
man.
It's K-R-O-U-P-A.
Oh, I've got him here.
Like a grand looking fella. He'd be the kind of lad who'd be in your friend group that one of your friends would settle with in college and they'd end up getting married.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It's fairly average.
Grant. So he gets
Everyone's
a phone call
of that guy.
And he hears he's in his 30s or something and he's a couple of years out of a long-term relationship with a woman that he was with from high school. Very amicable separation. They had kids together, but all was good. And when Dave kind of went back on the scene unexpectedly, he was a real hit. The women loved him.
Weird.
Yeah, so he was like, it was like Mambo number 5. He was like, there was different girls all around the place, right?
Does Cassie feature in that song? A little bit of Cassie.
There's a Sandra, which is similar. Which is, yeah, it's Cassandra. Oh, yes, it's all course, the same. Yeah. That is my name, Cassandra.
Never, ever would I have drawn those two things together.
Oh, so we're having a lanyard moment.
We are, possibly.
Wow, it's mind-blowing.
Oh, that was still one of the funniest moments of my whole life.
Leonard.
That and Travis.
No, Lenny. What's
Lenny?
What's Lenny short for? Lanyard. It was the way you said it in such a derisive way. Oh, okay.
Okay, back to Dave. He
God,
gets
such
a call.
Boring ass name, isn't it? Hello, Dave. Out there, love you too.
What do you think is the least sexy name? I think it's Lorcan.
No, Lorcan. No, no.
Yeah. Or Dermot.
Oh, Dermot. Yeah, they have a hard kind of.
Especially when it's pronounced Jermage.
Well, Jermage.
I'm sorry.
This is very harsh. People would be listening getting very upset.
National hottie Jermage Gavin is
That's
begs
fair.
To differ.
He's yeah. the exception.
He is one of our greatest homegrown hotties.
And True. A great gardener.
And a creep.
Big fan. Hey, Dermot. So Dave gets a call to say that his on and off girlfriend Liz had been shot.
A fuck.
Shot. Mm.
Shot.
Where are we in the world?
Iowa.
Okay, we're in America.
What kind of time is happening now here? 2000s?
2015.
Ooh.
So relative recent breaking news. She was out for a walk, taking a walk at Big Lake Park Council in Bluffs, Iowa, when a shadowy figure emerged through the darkness and she was shot through the thigh. I watched a special of 2020 on this and she said, Liz said that the woman came up behind her, told her to lie down on the ground and then she shot her through the thigh and then she had to walk back to her car and call 911.
Fuck. And so it was a woman who shot her.
So she says it was a woman that shot her, guessing by whatever she was saying.
A
woman
shot.
A woman shot her.
Yes, but not to kill.
Not to kill, just to maim. And so obviously 911 was called and they sent out like a search party. Could not sight nor sound find the shooter.
Okay.
Found Liz, did her up or whatever. But this was only one of many unfortunate things that had happened to Liz since she had fallen in love with Dave Krupa. So this saga had been going on for 4 years. Bizarre instances occurring over the past three. Ever since Liz had begun dating Dave, her life had been filled with drama and terrifying. Just terrifying things.
Incidents.
Yeah. So it like was in 2000. Oh, well, I guess I'm gonna get this, right? But like they're really dark, right? So Dave was so it was 2011 when Dave and his previous girlfriend Amy split up. Very amicable, as I said. They all get on very well. Two kids, raising the kids together, all friends. And by the summer of 2012, Dave was ready to start dating again, but was not seeking anything serious, right? He wanted to meet women and have fun. He was quite.
Was he making that clear to them?
Yeah,
he wanted
I think
to get
he was.
His whole,
yeah.
He wanted to get his own.
Yeah. He was out of fucking monogamy jail, you know?
Yeah, I mean, 11 years is a long old time. He was on Plenty of Fish.
Nice.
And that's where
that's
he met
so
Liz.
Retro.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
But like 2015, there would have been Tinder. There would have been.
He's probably on them all.
Yeah. First person he meets on Plenty of Fish is Liz. Her life was kind of tumultuous from the beginning. She was a mother who had already lost custody of her two children, related to being in an abusive relationship with one of her kids' fathers. Liz's mother had lost custody of the kids. Liz's mother was in an abusive relationship. So Liz's father was an ex-convict who beat her mother daily.
Jesus.
So just growing up in a very shit environment. And so she ended up then in foster care with her older brother. And even though her mother had turned her life around and she was days away from getting the kids back in 1978, she was struck by a car and killed.
Fuck,
so,
my God.
Tragedy, tragedy, tragedy for Liz.
Jesus, and she's like Bad Luck Brian.
Oh,
yeah.
No, God, love her.
So, 2012, Dave and Liz have their first date. Dave thinks Liz is magical, sexy, vivacious. They both had children around the same age, and Liz claimed to share Dave's desire to have only a casual relationship.
Oh, yeah.
Liz had her own business. She was a housekeeper and ran a housekeeping cleaning business. So the two hit it off absolutely immediately, enjoyed each other's company, went on a couple of dates. Over the next few weeks, they began to see each other regularly, carrying on a sexual relationship that they both enjoyed.
Hmm.
Dave, however, admits that he was never particularly interested in Liz because she was not that well read and I couldn't have conversations with her.
But
fuck off,
I
Dave.
Was happy
if you
to
don't
shag
have a conversation
her.
With a woman, maybe you shouldn't put your pee-pee inside of her.
Maybe.
Maybe. But despite the mutual understanding that the relationship was to be casual only, Liz started to get really intense, a bit clingy. She wanted to spend more and more time with Dave.
But this is according to Dave, having made it clear that it was only casual. They were continuing to see each other. She became attached because she's crazy.
Yeah.
Okay.
This is according to Dave.
Yeah.
The gospel according to Dave. He was the 13th apostle.
Dave.
What do you think, Dave? So she was getting more clingy and it was pushing Dave away. Dave wanted to go out, enjoy his life, and she was like asking where he was going, what they were doing on nights that they didn't spend together.
What a bitch.
Yeah, and he had to remind her that it was none of her business. Dave was not in a committed relationship and continued to see other women in addition to Liz. Dave encouraged Liz to see other men too, but she had deleted her Plenty of Fish profile and explained to Dave that she did not feel comfortable sleeping with multiple people at the same time. Fair enough, Liz. But if that's what you like to do, also you can do that. Everyone is a consenting adult. Dave continued to see Liz despite being irritated by her.
Really? I hate Dave.
Dave is a dick. He is a bit of a dick.
Yeah.
But
he's getting his hole. That's all he cares about.
He seems like a pretty standard issue man.
Yeah. And like, I'm sure Dave's like, look, I told her time and time again.
Dumb Dave. He was realizing that Liz started to get upset when he would spend time with his kids and ex-girlfriend. And he had to constantly remind her they were not in a committed relationship and he could do whatever he wanted. So sometimes Dave would be like getting ready for a date and Liz would show up unannounced at his apartment.
Mm, bit creepy, Liz.
Dave was always, according to Dave, willing to have sex, but would still go and leave on his date.
Ooh. Dirty dick.
In my
I
mind,
hope
I'm
he
like,
gives
oh.
it a wash.
She like emptied him out and sent him off.
Yeah, kind of trying to like neuter him.
Maybe.
Yeah. So ultimately, right, there was this tension going back and forth. Liz wants more. Dave doesn't want as much. Ultimately, Dave then pulls out. And in the fall of 2012, Dave is at work. His job is at the Hyatt Tire. So he's like a car mechanic. And a pretty woman walks in, catching his attention. He was instantly attracted to her, but didn't speak to her. Later, he found the woman on Plenty Fish. Her name was Carrie Farver. So Dave messaged her, but it wasn't until she came back to his place of work that he asked her out. He said that they were standing very close together as they inspected her car and there was a lot of tension.
All right, Dave, sure.
Absolutely. Mm. I'd say she was like, fuck me, I wonder how much this is going to cost. And
exactly.
He was like,
that was the tension, Dave.
She must fancy
me. But he did ask her out and she accepted and they made plans to meet in the November of 2012. Carrie Lee Farver, born November 30th, 1974, smart, beautiful woman who worked as a computer programmer with expertise in coding. She was 37, divorced with a teenage son. She was stunning, classy, and the kind of woman Dave could carry on an intelligent conversation with. However,
Liz, it's the end of days, is it, for Liz?
Well, he'd already kind of pulled it off. He'd already sort of pulled it off with Liz. Do you know, he was like, you know.
Okay, sorry, he'd pulled out of Liz.
He pulled out of Liz. So he was trying to avoid her. However, Dave was on their first date. Dave was on his first date with Carrie, and he was getting all these text messages from Liz. Liz claimed she had something to get something from his apartment that she had left there and needed immediately. So once back at his apartment, Dave explained the situation to Carrie. Carrie was very understanding, didn't seem fazed at all by the other woman stopping for her, by her date's apartment. After all, Carrie and Dave had agreed to a casual relationship only. So Carrie did seem to be understanding. And I think the thing is here, Carrie wasn't that interested in Dave.
Interesting.
She was just like, yeah,
Grant. I'll just see this Dave while I'm looking for...
Where she said she wasn't interested in Dave. Dave obviously has some sort of magnetism that we just don't understand. Liz and Carrie pass each other then at Dave's apartment. And this is the start of the absolute fucking turmoil.
Oh no, Liz.
Yeah. So Dave continued on a relationship with Carrie for a couple of weeks, and he said he felt like he hit the jackpot. Liz continued to send Dave emails suggesting that after putting months into their relationship, she thought it only wise for the two to give it a real shot. But Dave did not want to be in a monogamous relationship with Liz, but was opening to continue a sexual relationship. He wasn't going to stop seeing Carrie or anyone for Liz, for that matter. So shortly after they started dating, Carrie and Dave...
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
We are getting closer. Carrie works very close to Dave's apartment, so she ends up staying there a couple of nights a week because she's working late on these projects. She lived in Iowa and Dave lived in Nebraska, or she worked across in Nebraska where Dave lived. So she was working on this big project, and closer to work was beneficial for her. Dave enjoyed her company and was fine with her staying over for a few days. Carrie didn't seem to be aggressively pursuing anything serious. She was just having fun and enjoying the convenience of Dave's apartment to her job. Absolutely sound out. You do you. So early in November, while staying with Dave, Carrie started receiving a few Facebook friend requests from people she wasn't sure she knew. However, she realized that one of them was from her hometown in Macedonia, Iowa. Carrie messaged the person saying, "Do I know you?" But she never received a response. Things were going grand between Dave and Carrie. On the 13th of November, then 2012, Dave left and goes to work, and he gets a text message from Carrie later that day in the morning saying that they should move in together. And Dave was really surprised and was like, "Carrie's the chill one. This seems very strange." So he responded and said, "Oh, well, I don't think that's a good idea." And instead of being like, "Grand, chill," Carrie suddenly churns and is like, "Fine, fuck you. I'm seeing somebody else. Don't contact me again."
Very on her.
Very on Carrie. So Dave is flabbergasted. Like, Dave was like, "I thought Carrie was a cool person who shared his views on long-term relationships." Over the past few weeks, they've been having so much fun and she never indicated that she wanted to change the situation. And she noticed, he noticed then that Carrie unfriended him on Facebook. So Dave was disappointed but not devastated. After all, it was only a casual relationship. He's still out there. He's still on the scene. And when he returned home that evening, everything Carrie had brought with her was gone, as if she'd never been there. So in the days that followed the end, the end abrupt to Dave and Carrie's relationship, Dave started getting numerous text messages and emails from Carrie. Pretty nasty, calling Dave's other dates whores, especially the one Carrie had met, Liz. Then Liz started to receive text messages and emails too, calling her a fat, ugly whore and other vulgar names.
From apparently Carrie?
From Carrie. So
has Dave spoken to Carrie? Bear in mind,
Liz is the one who gets shot. He's I guess, responding.
I thought Carrie was getting shot.
No, Liz is the one at the start who gets shot. So Liz was the one who wanted the committed relationship.
Yes. Sorry, this has crossed wires now.
Yeah, yeah.
Gotcha.
Liz is the one who wanted the committed relationship. Dave was like, no, that's too intense. I'll date this chill one, Carrie. Carrie suggests they move in together. Shit. Dave rejects her. Carrie switches, turns.
Nuclear.
Flips the switch and is going nuclear, right? And so not only is she Carrie now texting Dave and sending him abusive message, she's also moved on, found Liz, and is sending Liz abuse
and
as well.
And had Liz left Dave at this point?
Yeah, like they're not really seeing each other. Dave is like, you know, lesser of two evils. She's still crazy for wanting commitment. So Liz contacted Dave then, who shared that he too was getting bombarded with these messages from Carrie. Dave felt responsible for dragging Liz into this, so he apologized and he agreed to see her more frequently. In fact, she convinced him to dedicate every Wednesday night to her.
So Liz is back.
Liz okay. is back on the scene now, trauma bonded over the abuse gotcha. They're receiving yeah. from Perfect. Carrie. So Dave and Liz weren't the only ones receiving disturbing messages from Carrie. Her family came concerned as a few days went by with no word from her. Finally, she texted to tell them she took another job in Kansas and was moving away. Her family did believe that she would. She didn't. Did her. So she had a teenage son that was with Carrie's mother. And they said that it wasn't actually that unusual for her to like go and take the job and leave him there. He must have been living with her okay. permanently or something. But Carrie's brother was getting married the following weekend and they were like, we'll see her at that. Oh. The wedding came and went, no Carrie. Her best friend's baby shower, which she was hosting, also came and went, no Carrie. Her mother started to grow concerned, but Carrie continued to text and send messages indicating that she just wanted some alone time and that her mother was too controlling. But her mother felt that something was very wrong and reported Carrie missing.
When was police Liz impersonating Carrie?
Certainly wanted to
bring
to
her and
at.
Dave together.
Well, Liz goes through a terrible amount of trauma with this, so just hold off.
Okay.
Not making any assumptions yet. Okay. Bear in mind, Liz has been shot, and then there's something really dark coming for Liz.
Okay. Has so, Liz been shot in the story already? No.
No, we've okay. gone back in time to give context to where Liz is, but the story really takes national attention with the shooting. The thing about Carrie is when the police come to take the missing persons report, they learned that Carrie suffers from bipolar disorder and her medications were left at home. So she seemed Oops. Like she was unlikely medicated. There's no law against an adult feeling. Disappearing on their own free will. So police didn't aggressively pursue the case given the facts.
Interesting.
Soon the incessant messages from Carrie to Liz and Dave turned really threatening. One day, Liz came home to find her garage had been vandalized and whore from Dave was written on the wall of her garage with paint.
Whore from Liz, Dave.
Yeah. Liz also had some old checks from an older account that were missing. She was furious and Dave couldn't blame her. A police report was made and Dave hoped the harassment would soon end.
Dave just seems so ineffectual.
I know. Oh, he's just so, oh, he's yeah, probably
couldn't
still
blame you.
On oh, plenty
couldn't blame
of
you,
fish.
That's awful. He's probably still, exactly.
Yeah. yeah. That night, he received an email from Carrie admitting to be the vandal of Liz's property. On November 17th, Carrie texted a photo of signed check to her mother. She explained that she had sold her furniture and someone was coming to get it. The check was made out to Carrie for $5,000 and signed by someone named Shana. Little did Carrie's mother know who Shana was. I'm not going to spoil it. No one came by to collect any of the furniture. So Carrie's mother requested that Carrie call her as soon as she could so she could hear her voice. She wasn't convinced that her daughter would be doing these things. She said Carrie was meticulous as well with her grammar and spelling, and texts and emails had to be perfect or she'd correct them. These texts were sloppy and filled with grammatical errors. Another thing Dave had noted previously when he said that
Carrie was supposed to be the smart one.
Carrie was supposed to be the smart one, yeah. He didn't know Carrie well, however, and had no reason to think it was anyone else but her.
Yeah, in fairness, they didn't.
They didn't, you know, and she's...
And it's funny that her family even were like, look, it's not that out of character initially when she just kind of...
Yeah.
But then again, like, if she was being contacted...
And they were contacting her frequently. And because the abuse that Dave and Liz were suffering was so vulgar and getting so threatening, any police involvement was really focused on stopping and stemming that harassment rather than looking for her, do you know? And like she would text Dave. So Dave said him and Liz could be like out on a date and he would get a text from Carrie describing what he was wearing.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. So
it's like Liz was texting under the table from
but
the
like she'd be
phone.
There and she'd get a phone as she'd get a text as well.
Oh,
you
yeah,
know,
yeah.
Like they really thought that
she's
she
ambidextrous.
Was,
yes. Yeah.
That
who
she was
the fuck
watching
is texting.
Them.
Well, it has to be.
So when they started to trace where the pings were coming from, that thing that they do in the States with the text messages bouncing.
That's what they did with cereal.
The pings of
the ping towers.
Yeah. So they were generally located in the vicinity of Dave's apartment, but not close enough to either Dave or Liz to be coming from their homes.
Ooh.
When they searched the areas where the phones pinged, they found no sign of Carrie or her vehicle. However, Liz and Dave were still receiving hundreds of texts and emails each day.
Jesus.
Often they would be watching a movie together when both their phones would sound with threatening and nasty messages from Carrie. The constant harassment was frustrating and sometimes scary, but it did bring Dave and Liz together as they shared a common stalker.
Mm.
During one of her numerous reports to the police, Liz explained that Carrie blamed her for her breakup with Dave. She explained that the check Carrie sent to her mother was stolen from Liz's garage during the vandalism incident. Dave and Liz were informed by police that Carrie's family had reported her missing. The police had attempted to contact Carrie several times without success. And after they spoke to Liz and Dave, however, the sheriff received this text message from Carrie saying, "I don't care about this missing person report, but I really appreciate it if you leave Dave Krupa out of it. I will be leaving the state. My mother overreacted. I've been to my house a few times." She later admitted...
So she's texting the sheriff now?
Yeah.
Very odd.
She
surely.
Later admitted to stealing Liz's checkbook via text, prompting a warning from police that when someone finds her, even in another state, she'll be held on warrant. Months go by. And like, I mean, in total, like 4 years go by of this harassment. But months go by and Carrie remained out of sight, but certainly not out of anyone's mind. She was continuing to send... You missed it there when you were in the toilet. But like she was sending thousands and thousands of messages and emails. No matter how many times he attempted to catch her stalking him through his window, he could never. Oh yeah, this is where Dave reacts to, you know, he said that she would text him about what he was wearing. So he always knew that she was nearby, but he could never actually find her.
Oh, I mean, betcha Dave just like dressed quite boring.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
she'd just be like, nice t-shirt today.
Yeah.
And like, he'd be like, I am wearing a t-shirt.
Now, what happens
our
next...
Our hatred for Dave.
I know.
Is so strong.
Dave. But he's so mediocre.
Yeah.
Like, he's so... Blah. And it
he's
doesn't warrant this reaction at all.
Imagine you get stalked and then like these fucking doses on a podcast sometime later are like, ugh. And like, why? She didn't even warrant stalking.
That's
she was
ugly
so crash.
Yeah.
She was such an uggo dose.
Okay, we are victim shaming. I've heard it. But it's the hive, so
it's
fine.
The hive.
There's no straight men in here. So...
I don't know. What about other Harry? Hello, other Harry. We hope you're still with us. He's just unsubbed.
Has he?
No, I don't know.
No.
I'm just joking.
Other Harry, if you're there, do let us know. Carrie's father dies and Carrie fails to show up to the funeral. And this sends alarm bells off the family. They're like, there's no way she would miss her father's funeral.
The lackadaisical approach, the fact that she's not... in contact with her son, that just being Norm.
Yeah, it feels so a bit true, strange. Actually.
Yeah, but I guess they're just blaming it on her illness. I mean, it's 2015 and she's got a mental illness. So like, they're just like, what will we do with this alien?
Yes, like, send her to Iowa.
So they knew that something wasn't right then. Carrie's Facebook account, however, remained active and she posted that she moved to Kansas for a great job. She even said, hey, got a great guy, Dave Krupa, moving down to Kansas. Now, if I can get my son to move with me, I'd be so happy.
Son's like, Mom, I haven't heard from you.
Exactly. Yeah, and he didn't call. She didn't call him on his birthday.
Oh,
she basically
God.
Abandoned him. So her parents were granted custody through the Iowa court system. Dave and Liz continued to see each other. Dave felt the need to pull away at times when Liz became increasingly needy and clingy. I mean, she's scared. She's being stalked. And all she wants is fucking commitment.
She just wants to hang out, Dave. Jesus.
And funny enough, whenever Dave got frustrated and break things off with Liz, coincidentally, Carrie would ramp up the harassment. Liz dubbed stalker. Liz dubbed her crazy Carrie. We'd both become victims, she said. We'd something in common that we didn't have with anyone else. The stalking to continue to bring the two of them back together. At one point, Carrie claimed to be pregnant by Dave. Dave had a vasectomy years before, so she knew that even if she was pregnant, it was not his. He did not know that Carrie had a hysterectomy years ago, making it impossible for her to be even pregnant. Perhaps this was just another crazy delusion of their mentally ill stalker. Carrie texted Liz saying, Dave and I want to provide a happy home for this baby, so I'm kindly asking you to please back off and leave Dave alone.
But like, has Carrie and Dave even been in the same room together in
recent memory? You never know with Dave.
Yeah. Like, so it's all looking, pointing in the direction I feel we all believe it's going.
Give me your theory.
It's Liz.
What's Liz?
Well.
But like, how did Liz shoot herself in the back, in the legs?
Well, listen to this then.
Yoga?
Okay.
Yoga. Eye yoga.
Liz is texting Carrie back saying, just leave me alone. If you want Dave back, have him that bad. I'm sick of all this drama. Don't want to be in the middle of it anymore. You're terrorizing me and I don't need it. So fuck off. Basically, I'll leave Dave.
Okay, so it's quite deranged now.
Like self-stalking.
Oh, Sophie. I never considered this. Wait a minute. So Liz, I believe, is impersonating Carrie.
Maybe. Oh my God.
Harassing them both.
Oh my God. Do you know the way going out with a guy and they never ever want to do the breaking up? So they just start acting like such complete dickheads
until
finally you just kind of take it in hand and say, all right, fucking, we're breaking up. Okay. Yeah. This is Dave. This is how it started. Dave was trying to get Liz away from him and was like, if I just stalk her loads and just kind of torment her, she'll leave me alone because
I'm
she'll
the root
be like
of her problems.
I wasn't worth it.
Exactly.
Instead, Liz is latching
more
closer
and more.
Okay. Mm. There's some theories on the table.
Good theories. I
all
enjoy
wrong.
Them. Liz is prepared to walk away. However, her and Dave do continue to see each other. At some point
these two.
These just and they're like oh, I bet they're just like they get a just Chinese missionary. And do missionary. Like,
yeah.
Do you
yeah.
know?
Oh my
like,
God, jinx.
Yeah.
Oh, fucking, I'd love a Chinese though.
I would love a Chinese.
I really like a Chinese. Yeah.
None of us going for the missionary after now.
At some point, Dave notices a car parked out in the parking lot that he recognizes. It's Carrie's car. No sign of Carrie in the car, but the car is there.
Where's Liz?
This is outside his apartment, is it?
Yeah. I don't know where Liz is at this point. The car had a scratch on the side, but no fingerprints on the outside of the vehicle or the steering wheel. But there is really odd. There are no fingerprints on the steering wheel, not even Carrie's. They did find a single fingerprint, however, on a tin of mints in the center console. The print did not match Carrie or anyone in the system. The car was extremely clean, except for a small pink stain on the passenger seat of the vehicle, which looked like spilled strawberry milk.
Weird.
Liz's beverage of choice. Just can't let it go.
Sipping on a Yazoo. She's a criminal mastermind drinking a Yazoo. Photographs were taken of the vehicle, but ultimately the vehicle was released back to Carrie's parents, who were technically the owners. So in spring of 2013, Dave calls Carrie's mother and says he thinks that Carrie is staying at a homeless shelter in Omaha and wanted to be picked up. So filled with hope, Carrie's family and the police rushed the homeless shelter, only to find out Carrie was not there and never had been. It was later determined that the caller was not Dave. The whole incident was a cruel joke.
God, also Lady Fanny of Omaha. Does anyone remember that? Do you remember Rotten Scoundrels?
No.
I just can't hear Omaha without saying
Lady
it.
Lady Fanny.
Carrie's harassment continued as she sent pictures of Liz and her children to Dave, threatening to hurt them if Dave didn't leave Liz alone. Meanwhile, Dave grew bored with Liz.
Oh, Dave, just shit or get off the
met
pot.
Another woman
he's
online.
He's fucking hovering and then receding. And
I
then he's back again.
You, but I'm in you. Yeah, and I hate you.
Or you're clingy.
I'm still inside.
But also, you're not in it, my intellectual equal. While I'm just nutting in you the whole time.
Oh, horrendous. Absolutely horrendous, isn't it? So he meets another woman online, adds her on Facebook, and within an hour, Carrie is bombarding him with messages. No. The woman received messages too, including this one. So you must be Dave's new whore. He is herpes from the whore he was dating. I would watch out from him. So Jessica quickly was like, no, fuck this.
Yeah, exactly.
Breaks contact with Dave.
Little bit of Jessica
continues.
In my life.
There you go. There's the mambo number five. Carrie made threats against the woman and her kids, sending pictures of them to make sure she was taken seriously.
Fucking hell.
That woman had to make a harassment report to the police.
My God, Carrie is so quick off the mark.
She is. So crazy Carrie. Like, she's stopping anybody from getting near from near Dave.
Okay, well, this means that Dave, the theory of it being Dave, is not it.
What about Dave's ex, the mother of his kids? It was all very amicable,
well, but what if it wasn't? Liz is still trying to
get
Dave
with Dave. Yeah,
Dave. There's still loads to go.
Okay, go for it. So Liz,
I'm loving it. Please don't stop.
Hang on.
Liz is, they keep breaking up and getting back together. Dave's meeting other people online. Every time he meets someone, Carrie's messaging him saying,
back off, bitch.
Back off from that whore. Or back off from him. He's got herpes. Amy, the ex. So Liz is still like, I don't know. Like, Dave is just needs to grow a backbone and just like completely separate him from herself, Liz, because she keeps clinging on and coming back here and there. So Amy ends up meeting Liz and says that she is rude and unfriendly.
Tells Liz she's an arsehole. Amy does.
Kind of. Basically tells Dave that she thinks Liz is an arsehole. So yeah. Dave finally fully breaks it up during the summer of 2013.
And surely, theoretically, Carrie would fuck off as well.
Yes, theoretically. But she doesn't. Because Liz goes home and this one night in the summer of 2013 and finds her whole fucking house on fire.
Oh,
whole house.
Jesus.
Burns to the ground. Animals inside.
Oh my God.
Her own pets perished.
The night of the breakup, was it?
Couple of times after.
It still smells.
Liz told police she received a message from Carrie hours earlier threatening to kill her and her children. But she received those types of messages so regularly. Although the fire was determined to be arson, no humans were hurt. However, Liz's pets were all killed.
Oh my God.
Including a cat and a dog. Liz told Dave she was moving and not sharing her new address with him.
Hurt pets.
Hurt people, hurt pets.
Thank God her kids weren't there.
Yeah, good point.
So Liz decides to move, get the fuck out.
Well, her hand has been forced.
Yeah, I mean, she doesn't have a house anymore.
Yeah.
And she tells Dave that she's going and she's backing away from this whole situation. And what do?
Get back together.
Continue dating for a further 2 years.
2 years?
Two more years.
So this has gone four. Are we on year four? Or are we on
we're up to kind of year four now, right? So Liz didn't have many friends. When she befriended a woman in work, they bonded really quickly. Liz sensed that Dave was pulling away from her again. So she floated the idea of a threesome with her new friend.
Naturally.
Dave was interested.
The other friend
was not. Dave's ex-girlfriend Amy, meanwhile, had a baby by another man and was in a relationship that did not work out.
Uh-oh.
On holidays, Dave would often spend time with Amy and all three kids, developing a bond with Amy's youngest child, and this infuriated Liz. So by December 2015, Carrie had not been seen by her family for 3 years.
Whoa.
However, the harassment had not at any point stopped. But police finally started to become suspicious. Why would someone who dated Dave for less than 2 weeks stalk him and his ex-girlfriend for years?
Oh my
it
God,
didn't
I'd
make
forgotten
any
that.
Sense.
10 days. And probably within that 10 days, they stay the night like three times.
Maybe three,
Did Dave just have...
What like, was it about Dave?
The dick of all dicks.
Don't know.
The like, Moby Dick of dicks. The Great White Dave.
Like, well, there's nothing. The Great There's White nothing Dave. That he could be made of that would be appealing enough.
No.
Not even like a chocolate Swiss roll.
That's why I was thinking Reese's peanut butter cups. If he was made of them,
if his jizz was the inside of walnut whips, I would actually stalk him for 4 years. I love that whip stuff.
I mean, there's easier ways to get it than sucking the Dave off.
Suck it out of a tiny little hole.
I wouldn't let him come on me with it though. Very sticky.
Very,
very sticky.
Okay, so. Police are growing suspicious, but Liz saunters into the police station again with a new complaint. She said that she was being threatened, but not by Carrie this time. According to Liz, Dave's ex-girlfriend, Amy, was sending her nasty text messages and emails. She said that someone had stolen a gun from Dave's apartment, which he confirmed. She said that she was scared that Amy was going to attack her, and perhaps Amy had attacked Carrie. She seemed to think the same thoughts as the police. Why would someone stalk someone for years after a brief period of dating? Liz voluntarily let police download her phone data and messages in the hope that they could arrest Amy. Soon after, Liz gets shot in the park. She was able to identify the shooter as
Amy.
Amy.
Oh.
Police bring Amy in for question, who's visibly shaken by the accusation. After intense interrogation, the woman continued to deny that she had been in the park. And her older children were with their father, Dave Krupa, but her youngest son was asleep in his crib. Police eventually determined that Amy was telling the truth, so no arrest was made.
So who fucking shot Liz?
Soon after, Liz brought an email to the police that she claimed was from Amy, giving a full confession to not only shooting her, but also killing Carrie.
Interesting. Nobody had suggested Carrie was dead or murdered until Liz did.
The confession gave very specific details about Carrie being abducted the morning of November 13, 2012. Carrie had logged on to Facebook around 6:45 a.m. The next time she logged on 3 hours later, it was to unfriend Dave. According to the confession from Amy, she abducted Carrie during that time. She described Carrie's tattoos correctly, including one not mentioned in the missing persons flyer. The confession said Carrie was stabbed in the stomach or chest area, but being burned beyond recognition and thrown in the garbage.
Fuck.
The details included information about Carrie's vehicle and home that was not public knowledge, leading police to believe that Carrie had in fact been murdered over three years earlier.
Jesus.
Police Any did mention not, of the strawberry however, milk. Believe that Amy was the culprit.
Oh,
they
Liz.
Began to finally be suspicious of Liz.
You stupid
who provided
bitch.
This email she had allegedly received from Amy.
This is BK.
BTK.
BTK territory. Like she, why
well,
did she?
Very similar.
It was eating her up. Emerges. She needed more attention.
The emails coming from the inside download, the house.
Like
the
why the fuck would you write a
confession?
She wrote
phone.
Her own confession.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
The download of Liz's phone, unbeknownst to her, revealed information she had deleted from her phone. They found that Liz had been using applications that scrambled cell phone tower pings, making it hard to track where messages had come from. Another application was used to delay outgoing text messages, explaining why she often received messages from Carrie while she was in Dave's presence. Police did not, however, have a body. They
Dave
did learn that Liz was days
it.
Away from being evicted from her house. She did learn that Liz was days away from being evicted when her house was burnt down and had already moved most of her children's belongings to a friend's house. Police wanted more evidence to make the case against Liz.
She killed her pets. You remember, she burnt them to the ground.
She killed her pets and she burnt the home that her children lived in.
But she was about to be evicted anyway.
So the police go and find Carrie's vehicle because they want to find more
evidence.
But the vehicle had been sold. They go and they search it. The new owner is very understanding, but no evidence is found.
What about the print on the mints?
It's long gone.
What about the strawberry milk?
Oh.
Yeah, if only they could get it. It's
they could
gone.
Just catch Liz red-handed with a strawberry milk, that Avonmore strawberry milk.
Suckling it out of a little paper straw as it gets more and more stuck
moist,
together and
sticky.
Moist.
So the police want to confirm their suspicions and ask Liz for help to catch Amy.
Oh, so
meanwhile,
she's trying. Yeah, okay. So they double bluff her.
They're doing like a honey trap.
However, will we find Carrie without
you
your
gotta
help,
You got to come in
Liz?
And be one of us.
And did they lead her to believe they still suspected Amy as a
Yes,
the
so they're like, we're going to set up a sting to catch Amy.
Nice.
Meanwhile, they warn Dave that Liz is extremely fucking dangerous and he
Dave,
should move in temporarily with Amy and the children. So he moves in with Amy, although in disbelief that Liz was anything more than annoying. this...
I think it's gone a little bit past annoying.
It's past annoying. I mean, she is a melt, but like,
I know.
No, sorry. Her wanting commitment from a man she's sleeping with is not her being a melt, but the other stuff.
Yeah, murdering, the murder, and arson, and setting her pets on fire.
Melt. So this really pissed off Liz, was what the investigators wanted to achieve.
That Dave.
They wanted to get so upset that she would start making mistakes. So she called the police in tears, venting her frustration that Amy got to commit murder, shot her, and still gets to be with Dave. So police were like, we've got her right where we want her. So they asked her to try and get a more detailed confession from Amy. Hours later, Liz forwarded them another confession email. This time, the writer explained that Carrie was murdered in her own vehicle on the passenger side, stabbed in the chest and abdomen.
Oh,
she said to them, put her in garbage bags and burned her body. Finally, she says she threw her away with the trash that week, not thinking twice about...
Oh my God. Taking her phone, writing emails from her, contacting her family incessantly.
Yeah. The writer threatened to do the same thing to Liz, and then a third search of the vehicle included removing the passenger seat cover. This time they found a massive blood stain in the foam that was confirmed to belong to Carrie.
Oh, you fucking...
Detectives experienced in technology had a lot of work to do to track the hundreds of thousands of messages that had been sent over the years.
Non-stop.
Through a long and tedious investigation, they determined the IP address in which Amy's confession emails originated belonged to a man named Garrett. Garrett was living with a woman he'd considered his girlfriend of many years. The woman's name
was Liz.
Shayna Gaylor, which is Liz's birth name. Garrett explained that he'd been dating Liz.
How?
Shayna, known to Liz, to others, for years, even before this whole fiasco began in 2012. He said that Liz would often be distant, but he cared for her deeply.
This woman.
Liz was often very fucking busy on her phone being work a psychopath.
And attention to detail. What? Applied to literally anything else.
Well, it's no...
It's a Nobel Prize.
It's no wonder she didn't have time to read.
Applying it to Dave.
Mediocre Dave.
Really and truly. Okay, so she had a whole other thing on the... How?
Yeah, I mean, I need to give me full disclosure. I hadn't actually read this far. So this is a twist for me too.
Holy shit. God,
I didn't see this one coming.
No.
I didn't finish the 2020 special. It was an hour long. It was 60 minutes. That's what it was.
Oh, yes. Great show.
60 minutes. I know, but I was like, I'll give it a
then
good
one. Then what happened?
I watched on double speed. Couldn't get through it.
Liz charged with murder.
Well, hold on. Yeah. So Garrett's just saying, oh yeah, sorry, Liz ran her own business, that housekeeping business. But Garrett said they didn't live together until the house burnt down, and then he allowed her to move in with him with the kids. He said they were distant. She rarely slept in the same room as him. But she allowed Garrett to pay her bills and be her babysitter and did not contribute much to the relationship.
Poor Garrett.
For a professional housekeeper, he said she was a slob. Garrett often had to clean the room in a basement where Liz stayed by herself. She was often on the computer, he said, where police suspect was due to the time commitment it took to stalk Dave herself and others. Police showed Garrett that in Liz's phone, he was labeled as fat ass. That is so... There was no need to show him.
Yeah, exactly.
He was deeply hurt to learn that she had been seeing Dave for 3 years behind his back. So Garrett allows them to come in and search the home and to... go through everything where Liz was staying. They didn't find anything useful, but a search of a former apartment did lead to evidence. They found multiple cell phones and electronics, including a camera identified as belonging to Carrie. The camera contained a video of Carrie with friends, proving it belonged to her. One of the phones they found was proven to be used to call Carrie's mother on the day the man claimed she was at a homeless shelter. There was also an app to disguise voices. Finally, police matched the missing fingerprint on the mint can in Carrie's vehicle to Liz. So Omaha police arrest Liz for the murder of Carrie Farver on December 16th, 2016. 4 years had passed since Carrie had disappeared, but police felt they had finally got a solid case against Liz. She denied knowing anything about Carrie's disappearance and insisted Amy was the murderer. She stuck to her victim's story about before asking for a lawyer. In 2017, she stood trial for the murder of Carrie Farver, while awaiting trial, an SD card belonging to Liz was found to contain a picture of a human foot in advanced stages of decay.
Oh.
On the foot was a tattoo matching Carrie Farver's known tattoo.
Why would she have done that?
Oh my God, she's not well.
No, a freak. Her defense team then opted for a bench trial, meaning the judge would get to decide whether she was guilty or not, not a jury.
Christ.
What a twist.
Oh my God.
Yeah. Look and at so Liz. The defense tried to say that there was no body and that picture wasn't proof that she was dead.
Right.
That's sure. Liz.
She we had no defense.
Can get lax about our foot maintenance and yeah. It could resemble decomp.
Fair.
Look how normal they look together. Dave oh, yeah. and Liz. Just like, they look like they're kind of down the pub doing the local pub quiz.
Oh God, Lord. That,
this is truly one of the most insane stories we've ever had, I think.
The constantness of it.
Yeah. So the
during the remember trial. Jess. Fuck this.
Yeah, getting out. So the double life that she had led for years proved that she was a pathological liar. All the stalking messages had originated from Liz. She stalked Dave, herself, Carrie's family, and anyone Dave dared to date for years. Wasn't the first time she had displayed this kind of behavior either. When the father of her youngest child ended their relationship, she stalked his new girlfriend. When the girlfriend married her ex and had a child with him, Liz continued to stalk her. When they divorced, she still stalked her despite the threat being eliminated. It was also discovered that Liz once had a young son named Cody. Cody's father adored his son, but Liz kept him at a distance. Liz was dating a man with questionable mental faculties. And when Cody was found unconscious, it was determined that he had died of shaken baby syndrome.
Oh my God.
Liz's boyfriend admitted to the crime and was sent to prison despite his family wholeheartedly believing that Liz herself had committed the crime.
Mother oh of God.
So in 2017, Liz was found guilty of first degree murder and sentenced to life without the possibility of parole in the Nebraska Department of Corrections. She also received 20 years for second degree arson and was found guilty of setting her rental home on fire.
20 years?
She immediately appealed, but the appeal was denied. She is currently serving her sentence at Nebraska, the Correctional Center for Women.
And no she continues for that to maintain her death.
Innocence, and Carrie's body has never been found.
Jesus.
Wow, Liz.
Is anyone else a bit nervous that Liz might somehow hear this and then devote Jeez, her God. Remaining years to stalking us?
We are luckily not the only. Well, yeah, she's got a lot of time on her hands.
No,
she's very
she'll go
good.
After the 60 Minutes program instead.
She'll oh, go yeah, after fair, them. Fair, yeah, that's yeah. true.
Or 2020.
Cassie, magnificent.
Oh, or wow. Dave.
That was incredible.
Oh, I came across that yesterday and I was like, they'll love this.
They'll love this. They're going to love
it. It's got everything.
All right, thank you, Hivers.
My God. Thank you, patrons. Thank you so much to the Hive.
See you over on Tuesday for the Mainer.
Love yous.
Can't wait.
Bye.
Especially goodbye to Yvonne.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.